Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us yet on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Natasha Wallace, the founder and chief coach of Conscious Works, an organizational well-being company. Her new book is The Conscious Effect, 50 Lessons for Better Organizational Well-Being. And Natasha, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
And you're so welcome, and thanks for your time today. So tell us, Natasha, for starters, what inspired you to write the book, The Conscious Effect?
Well, I experienced burnout having worked in fairly demanding HR roles for my whole career. I had most recently operated as an HR director in a professional services firm. And I, over the years, had done a lot of leadership development work, a lot of organizational development work, which I believed made me a bit of an expert on people and how they behaved and how to bring out the best in them. And then when I experienced my own burnout, it was a massive wake-up call for me that the big missing link in all of the work that I had done was an ability to take care of my own needs and recognize what I needed that may have prevented that burnout. So I set about quite quickly after that trying to figure out what had gone wrong, which led me to do a significant amount of research on top of the leadership knowledge I already had, and I produced the book.
I'm sure there's a lot of folks thankful for that. Good stuff there. And tell us, your book talks a lot about consciousness. Why is it so important for the modern world of work?
I believe that we tend to walk around in a state of automatic pilot these days. We're under so much pressure to deliver. There's so much distraction, both inside and outside of work, you know, with the massive boom in social platforms. And it's very, very difficult to stay consciously aware both of ourselves and how we're behaving and our needs and our own personal development, but also what's going on around us in the workplace. And especially for leaders, it's very easy to think that turning a blind eye to certain behavior or not responding to the needs of employees is okay because there's still so much to do and they're still delivering in the day job. And so, you know, what does it matter? But with such a huge increase in the amount of people who are talking about mental ill health and burnout and people feeling that they want more purpose and meaning in the workplace and they don't feel that that's happening, leaders just have to become more aware of what's going on inside and around them if we're going to make any real progress in the future of work.
Now, I understand you created a concept called conscious leadership. What's that all about? Get into some of those details.
So it was really based on my experience of what worked really well, looking at the bright spots in the organizations that I'd worked in previously, and also combining that with my understanding of what is motivational at a sort of very human level when it comes to trying to engage people in the workplace. And it's basically underpinned by five key areas. The first one is togetherness and the extent to which we create an environment where people feel safe, safe to be themselves. And also there's the opportunity and ability to connect with people on a very real and human level. And leaders play a significant role in making that happen by making people feel accepted, by creating this environment of psychological safety, which is a concept attributed to Amy Edmondson and her book, The Fearless Organization, that came out last year, which is the extent to which we can take interpersonal risk and speak up. And the second area is about purpose and meaning. I mean, if we go right back through the decades to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, he said that love, belonging, and being valued is a fundamental part to our well-being, and I don't think that's changed. We all need to feel like we matter. We all need to be recognized. We all need to feel appreciated. And I see that in the organizations where people do feel like they matter, there's just an exponential increase in the level of performance and what they can achieve. And then we go on to growth. So having a growth mindset, knowing that people may not yet be there, but they will be with, you know, focused effort and support. Avoiding that need to punish and criticize and manage people's underperformance, because we recognize that environment now is such a massive contributory factor to people not being able to perform in their roles, that if you see that somebody isn't able to perform in your role, as a leader, the first person you should be looking at is yourself. And also coaching people through through their careers and through their work to empower them and give them autonomy in the roles that they do. In order to do all of that as leaders, we need to be awake. So that's the fourth area of the conscious leadership model. We need to really understand ourselves, what drives us, what triggers us, and be present. And I say that presence is the best present we can give to people, insofar as if you are curious about people, if you listen to them deeply, if you listen beyond the words, if you really pay attention to how they're feeling and what they're saying as a leader, that is where you really can connect, because it's through that sort of empathy that you build connection and trust. And then the final aspect is resilience. So through leaders taking better care of themselves, which from what I said earlier on, I didn't do enough of. So being really intentional about leaving the office early to go and spend time with your family, taking intentional lunch breaks where people could see you leaving the office to go and get some fresh air, you know, do some exercise, maybe do some meditation, creating the space for people to talk about how they're feeling. Even if that is about the fact that they're not feeling great or they might have some mental health challenges. I mean, people are so petrified of talking about their mental health when they're suffering. They are so worried about the judgments of others and the fact that it might detriment them in their careers. But of course, where that is the case and there is that level of judgment, then we're not enabling people to be honest at work. And that is just impeding performance. So all of that together creates conscious leadership, which is an approach to leadership that is more responsible and really puts human needs at the heart of the approach.
Certainly some super information, and really appreciate your input there as well. Today we're joined by Natasha Wallace, the founder and chief coach of Conscious Works, an organizational well-being company. Her new book is The Conscious Effect, 50 Lessons for Better Organizational Well-Being, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Natasha, continuing on, what would you advise a leader to focus on if they want to build performance in their team or company?
So the first thing is about understanding yourself. It all starts with you. So unless you understand who you are, what drives you, your belief system, the way that you work, so your daily behavior, it's very, very difficult to shift anything, because the way you behave as a leader sets the tone for everything, the behavior of everybody else. So I would say it's about paying attention to the results that you're getting in your team. And if they're not the results that you would expect, asking yourself why that is and what aspects of your behavior might be contributing to that. Really pay attention to the way that you work. You know, if you're the sort of leader who works all the hours that there are, or expects yourself to deliver the highest standards, then there's every possibility that that approach could be rubbing off on the people that work for you, which makes for this sort of pace-setting leadership style, which is unsustainable. You know, any leader that expects their people to work above and beyond constantly, always be present and available, is setting the whole team up for a fall. And also create opportunities for people to speak up. So with some of the clients that I'm working with at the moment, we create space every month to have open conversations about how everybody's doing, what are the barriers that are getting in the way of even better performance, what culturally is working really well, what needs to be improved, and create that space. And often it's about the leaders showing some vulnerability with the team and saying, look, you know, I haven't felt particularly great at times, or I'm not feeling particularly great at the moment. And actually, I want to create an environment where people thrive at work and feel good and feel like they can speak up. And so how do we create an environment that is more like that? And sort of really corral the troops to answer some of those questions, because the leaders won't have all of the answers, but they can certainly create an environment where it's safe to speak up about them.
Now, you seem to believe that we need to focus more effort on our mental health. Why is that? I'd love to hear your input on that as well.
I guess I'm just seeing so many more people suffering, mainly in silence, where they beat themselves up for not achieving as much as they should, but actually they're overloaded, overwhelmed. Maybe the leaders that they're working for aren't giving them clear enough direction. And rather than recognizing that they've got some agency or control over their situation, they just believe that throwing more work or more of themselves at the work is the way out. But of course, often more often than not, that's not the case. You know, burnout levels are increasing, and there's a multi-billion-pound problem globally when it comes to mental ill health. It's putting a huge amount of strain on the National Health Service in the UK. I know that things are different in the US, but it's not a sustainable approach. Now, we aren't ever taught about how to take care of our mental health. It's not something that we do at school. It's not something that is part of sort of many extracurricular activities. And employers are really, really well placed to be able to provide support and education for people to really understand how to take better care of their mental health. Because in a world where our mental health is under increasing strain, we have to learn how to stay mentally fit. So this isn't about the avoidance of mental ill health so much. You know, I think it's really important that we understand how to take care of our needs if we are challenged with mental ill health, but it's about how to stay mentally well and mentally fit. So we need to understand how to take care of our psychological, cognitive, you know, emotional health if we're going to have the energy and focus that we need to thrive in the modern workplace.
Natasha, some super information here today per your expertise. Can't thank you enough for spending a moment with us here today on Enterprise Radio. As we conclude, you are a well-being specialist and coach. What do you do and how do you help leaders? Wrap things up with some of those details.
Okay, so I'm an individual coach and a team coach. So at an individual level, I work with a lot of people on all sorts of things, but it's all around them getting to know themselves better so that they can, one, take better care of themselves, two, fulfill their potential, so sort of be at their best, and three, set very, very clear goals for themselves that will help them sort of make the progress that they want to. So I can be dealing with it, you know, anything from somebody who feels like they want to make a career change to the leader of an organization who wants to mobilize the team to do something different or to take the next step in their development and growth as a company, and how do they do that, to managers of teams who are trying to figure out how to get the best out of their team on a day-to-day basis, and I coach them through that. But I also do team coaching, so that's where I would work with teams, obviously, taking a coaching approach to the development of the team. So it might be that the team want to cohere themselves more, so they want to operate more effectively as a team, or it might be that they're managing some sort of culture change and they want to figure out how they do that effectively. So it's all sort of in service, I guess, of creating a healthier, higher performing organization, either at an individual or a team level.
Well, Natasha, we certainly appreciate your time today, as I've mentioned, and for joining us here today on the program. If listeners wanted to connect with you, get more information on your book, The Conscious Effect, or to take advantage of your services, as mentioned earlier, where's the best place online to do so?
So you can go to my website, which is www.conscious-works.com. You can email me, natasha@conscious-works.com. And I'm on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, so there's plenty of places that you can find me. And my book is being sold globally, so you know, Amazon and the other big book retailers will have the book online.
Again, folks, it is conscious-works.com. Natasha, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to speak with you.
And the pleasure was certainly ours as well. We've been speaking with Natasha Wallace, the founder and chief coach of Conscious Works, an organizational well-being company. Her new book is The Conscious Effect, 50 Lessons for Better Organizational Well-Being. And for all the details and for contact, visit conscious-works.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.